This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Everyone's in good voice. Thank you very much. Thank you to our choir, to David. I gotta tell you, come to the 5 o'clock sometime. Last night was the most meditative, beautiful, musical ceremony that we had. I don't know, just something wonderful about listening to David play piano, and thank you to our choir. So today we celebrate that great aha moment when the Magi have journeyed so far from the east and they discover their quest in finding not a prince born in a palace, but the infant born in a stable. So these Magi, these wise men or astrologers who just watch the heavens for signs, momentous earthly events, and saw this star rising and followed it. Pretty amazing thing, even if we looked at it today. And what's revealed is this air of expectation. And so they go to, as I guess they get closer, they go to Herod, assuming that a king, King Herod, would know where this prince, they thought, was going to be born. And he's stumped, so he calls his folks together. As we see from the Bible, the prophet had written that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. But looking outside of the Bible, I found my good buddy Frank Logue again, who I don't know if he did the research, but there's a lot of research around this period of time in history and a couple things outside the Bible, or a couple of them. 37 BCE, the poet Virgil wrote a beautiful poem about the imminent expectation of a man being sent down from heaven whose birth would inaugurate a new age. And then two Roman historians wrote around the same time for the expectation of a world leader to rise out of Judah. And remember, there's no television, there's no Facebook, there's none of that. So there was kind of this common expectation that swirled around in probably the gossip for years about these things based on Virgil's and these Roman historians. But even beyond that, there was an expectation of a sign from heaven. And it says Jesus was likely to be born around 4 BCE, 4 years before we say they figured it out. And basically, that during that time, Halley's Comet was in circuit around the heavens at that point. And then 3 years before Jesus was born, Jupiter and Saturn were aligned three times, which for astronomers or astrologers, I should say, people just look at the sky, would have been something momentous. And finally, it talks about that Chinese astronomers, the year of Jesus' birth, noted a supernova, a bright light suddenly appearing in the sky. So I'm not really trying to historically connect it, but I'm trying to tell you that the world kind of knew, the folks that looked up at the sky, the folks that kind of followed this, and when it says that Herod was frightened, it was probably because he heard these rumors from his folks, and then also that was here. Of course, scared him because he wanted to stay in power, etc. Now our tradition, the Judeo-Christian tradition, has always been that we've come to know the Lord early on. Early the Jewish tradition was that we learned about God through creation, through this revelation of just creation. And of course, Genesis starts with creation, right? And that's how God is making God's self known, through his creation. Just like if we look at an artist's sculpture, artist's painting, one can learn through that artist about something that they're trying to discuss. In the same way, we can learn God through creation. And it reminded me, and it might remind you, how you meet God outside the church. As a kid growing up in Riviera Beach, which was a very little town then, just like Boynton was a little town then, probably a lot of farms, and we would go to the beach. Like, everybody went to the beach. And I remember, you know, even as a kid, just looking at the vastness and the blueness of the water and seeing the fishermen come in with their catches and all that type of thing, and just, you know, thinking the beauty and the wonder of the vastness of the ocean, thinking about God. And even when I was attempting to surf, because there wasn't much surf in Florida, but I was sitting on a borrowed, let's just say a borrowed surfboard, you know, you just look out there and you're waiting for that set of waves to come in, and just sitting there and just, you know, kind of floating a little bit and looking at the beauty of the ocean, just thinking, you know, this is what God created. And, you know, we moved out 10 years ago. Kathleen and I moved out to Evergreen Quarry for church out there. And the beauty, since I'm a Florida boy, the beauty of the mountains was just amazing to me. And just seeing the different pine trees and learning about ponderosas and long needle pines and short needle pines and all those type of things. You know, just wonderful. And looking at the vistas, both throughout all the seasons, in the summer and the spring, and then when it was snow covered, and how that changed the view of the mountains and the cirques and all the different, you know, peaks and valleys and all that, and how gorgeous this was, and learning about deer and elk and fox and all those different animals that are up there. Apparently there was a moose that I never saw, and oh, bears. I did meet bears a couple times. Another story another day. So it's how we come to know God through creation. They call it general revelation of God. And then, of course, as beautiful as that is, the fullness of creation, the fullness of God is through Jesus Christ. But it begins with all the Old Testament readings. Like we had today, Isaiah. Beautiful reading of Isaiah's. We are so happy to read around Christmas time, and how wonderful the theology changed from a very hateful, almost spiteful God, a very kind of tough taskmaster God, to one that now Jesus brings to us. It talks about way, truth, and life, but also talks about the beauty of God's love for us and sending his only Son to live, you know, like we do, live and die, as we say in our Eucharist, how God revealed God's own self to us. What an amazing thing that is. And that specific revelation of God coming as a child, as Marty spoke about a week ago or so. Then the revelations about dreams and visions that God uses, right? With Joseph, how Jesus, you know, don't keep Mary as your wife, go, Jesus will be born, etc. And then in the next couple of weeks, we'll hear how Joseph and Mary, because Joseph had a dream to go to Egypt because Herod was still looking to kill all the young boys, to kill this young king that was, or young prince, I guess, that was coming into the world. So the dreams of the Magi at the end of this story. They don't go back to Herod, right? They return home without paying the courtesy call that he wanted, right? So all those revelations are included in scriptures and dreams and visions. And then I always ask, but what does that have to do for us in 2024? Does this revelation continue? Well, I hope it does. I mean, that's why we celebrate. I hope that you feel that revelation in yourself, how you're called, just like the Magi were called by the star, right? The very visual, bright star. and they followed it from the east, wherever that was, all the way to Bethlehem. I hope you feel that same call, that God is calling you through a number of things, through going to the beach, going seeing the beauty of the world for all those that you get to travel and all. God's calling you through these scriptures that we're reading. And I did see somewhere, I can't remember where, I saw a scroll of Isaiah from the Dead Sea Scrolls. I think it was in D.C. when I was there. And actually seeing that thing laid out, and of course little pieces are missing in that, but you can see it's from Isaiah, and just, you know, wanting almost to touch this thing that was under glass for people like me. But, 6,000 years old, how these prophets were feeling that call and seeing that, know that God was going to come into the world as the Messiah, and writing it down, and that everybody kind of just did their part so we have Jesus in our life. But this idea that it's not just the Magi that's on a quest, it's we who are also on the quest. And that God, just like God guided the Magi, he guides us through our life, through our readings, through creation, through people around us, usually through our spouses, through our families, through our friends. How God initiates the journey. And what's not said here in this reading today is that God was the one that initiated the journey. God's the one that put the star up there, right? God is always reaching out and initiating our personal and communal journeys towards him. I have a friend who texted me this morning, Roman Catholic lady, and cool, I work for them at Matrix Mediation, and she said, just went to church, just went and saw, you know, the Epiphany. I had done a service for them, I don't know, 15 years ago at her house, and for Epiphany, and she still remembered that, and she has her chalk. We're going to do chalk, and we're going to bless chalk at the end, and was putting that up on her house as we were speaking, and, you know, that's all wonderful customs that we have, and that we can continue to remind us that we are spiritual seekers, but really God has initiated our seeking. It's like God is always there, and a lot of times we just need to pull the veil back. We think we're the ones that are looking, but it's really God that's pulling us, calling us. God's own self and creation, scripture, every life experience that we have. We're asked to pull back that curtain, to open our eyes, just like the Magi did, and not just sit at home and go, oh, that's a really nice star. I'll think about doing something about that, but actually getting out there and moving along. And if you feel that nudge to do something, to reach out to people that may help you and then obviously help others along the way. So today my prayer is very short. So let's pray. Lord, open our eyes to how God is showing up in our lives. Lord, open our eyes, God who is seeking after you and me, and then let us go and adore him. Amen. Amen.